Well, hello there, top teachers. We are your hosts, Bridget Spackman
and Michelle Emerson, and we are here to make your life easier by helping you master your time, organization, and productivity as a teacher.
Have you ever had that feeling where things just feel out of your control and the overwhelm of all the to-dos seem just to make your chest hurt? You start to have short breaths and then you feel like you can't even breathe at all while being at school and having nowhere to go. In this episode, we're going to get really vulnerable with our experiences around panic attacks.
But first, let's hear a time-sucking hurdle from Sarah. Sarah says, my TSH is, I'm tired. I've taught every grade K through 8 in my 15 years of teaching. I've taught through my mom passing away, a school scandal, a massive California fire, the pandemic, and now post-pandemic. I'm tired, not burnt out, but tired. I've lost my creativity along the way and I can't seem to find it. How can I reignite the creative spark, not just within my classroom, but in me?
Oh, Sarah, like this gets to my heart so much. And I think the part that you wrote, which says, I'm tired, not burnt out, I'm tired. That's the part that I think really resonated with me the most. Because I understand what you mean. It's like you still have this passion and love for education, for teaching, for the thing that you're doing, but the energy, it doesn't match, right? Yeah. Like you just can't think of like, how do I keep going? Like this is just exhausting. Like my body, my mind, my spirit, like all of it is exhausted, but I still love what I do. And I think that's kind of the key with burnout. And I don't know, Michelle, what do you think? Do you think that's the same, like, I don't know if that's the same thing or are they different? I don't know. So I'm gonna let you marinate on that, Michelle. But anyways, I think the biggest thing is finding other avenues in which you can be creative and finding different paths of your life that maybe you can explore to help reignite some of that creativity that you still have. And so I recently felt this exact same way with one of the teaching positions that I had at a school where it was like, I still love education, but I'm tired of all the stuff that I'm having to deal with. And so I got a new position and that's what I have this year. And that has started to reignite that passion and that love and that creativity in me a little bit more. Is it all the way there? No, because I still see some of the dirty stuff in education and that's never fun. But I think being able to reignite that is by looking for a new avenue that you can explore.
I'm going to start by piggybacking off of what you mentioned, where it's this whole, is it burnout? Is it not burnout? I think what happens is people will be referring to the same thing. We just use different words to describe it. It's kind of like if Billy and I are having an argument, it's like, I might call it a fight. And he's like, no, it's an argument. And I'm like, we're talking about the same thing, right? Like it doesn't really matter what we call it, what we label it. It's that feeling. And I feel like Sarah actually described it really well of just that, like almost feeling like you've lost yourself. And I know she says her creativity, it's almost like it's this fire in you that has really died down, maybe not burnt out completely, but it's, you've got just the embers left, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what you mentioned about exploring other avenues is a great solution. Maybe looking at roles outside of the classroom, or even you can still be working with kids, but in a different way. I think there are a lot of different options out there, and maybe just exploring those options. And as you explore them, keep an eye on that fire in you. At what point does it start to, do the embers kind of get a little bit brighter of a glowing color to them? I also think holding on to those moments where you do see it start to flicker and start to catch on just a little bit. You know, if you've ever started a fire, there's like that, those moments where it kind of starts to like grow just a little bit and it might shrink back down, but it starts to catch. And those moments are probably few and far between, but trying to capture those as much as possible. I think about with any pursuit, any passion, as humans, we tend to go all in on it because it feels good. And eventually I think we all kind of reach these levels of tired and burnout and expectations not matching reality and that passion fading, but you'll still have those little moments where you remember, you know, your why. And that's so cheesy because everyone says it, but truly someone will say something or something will happen or you'll see something and it will just spark ever so slightly that feeling of like, oh yeah, that's why I do this. Or like, oh yeah, that's why I went into this. And when you have those moments, like write it down, take a picture of it, have some way to capture it to come back to. And I think it's okay to come back to it and maybe realize like, that's not what I want anymore. Because over the course of your career, of your life, your identity is going to shift. And what really lights you up when you're 20 is going to be different than what lights you up when you're 30, when you're 40, when you're 50, and so on. And I think it's okay at these different periods of our life to go, okay, maybe I'm not as passionate about this anymore. Maybe I need to, as Bridget said, like explore other areas. And that area may be completely unrelated or it might still be related. And I just think it's okay to give yourself grace that you don't have to fit into this mold anymore. I think that's what really leads to that exhaustion and that drain when we feel stuck, when we feel like we have to just keep putting up with it over and over and over again. You don't have to. If you truly are tired, you can look at other things, other avenues, other passions, other aspects of your identity and try to embrace those. I think that's it.
Yeah. No, I think that's it's a really hard TSH to be able to put into one single answer, mm-hmm. Sarah. So I do believe, you know, right now is a time that a lot of educators are feeling the way that you're feeling. And so know that you are definitely not alone in this. Yeah. And to really, as Michelle said, hold on to those moments that are bringing you joy, that are bringing you happiness. A lot of the times it's so much easier to focus on the negativity rather mm-hmm. than focusing on the good things that are happening around you. So being very intentional with saying, oh, this was a really great moment, or, oh, I really enjoyed seeing this so-and-so person smile or so-and-so person feel successful in what we did in class today. And so holding on those moments rather than focusing on everything else that's happening around you is one way to really get past the challenges that we are feeling.
Yeah. So we have not, in full transparency, we have not outlined this episode at all.
Nope. Nothing.
We are just going to chat. This was something that Bridget kind of proposed as an episode. And we're just going to have a very open and real chat yeah. about panic attacks. I mean, that's what this episode is going to be about. I think it's important maybe to kick it off by saying we are not experts. We are not doctors. We're not claiming mm-hmm. to be. We're not giving medical advice. We are just sharing our experiences and what those have looked like, maybe what has helped, what we still struggle with. I mean, really, this is just a chat between friends. And going off of the TSH and saying how it's like, look, Sarah, you're not alone. Anyone listening to this, if you've also suffered from panic attacks or experienced that in any way, this is kind of your sign of like, look, you're not the only one that has gone through this. And we don't necessarily have the solution. That's not what this mm-hmm. episode is about. It's more so just highlighting like, hey, here's what we have encountered with them. So
Yeah. So I'm going to kick us off because, as Michelle mentioned, this was something that I brought up, and it was because I recently experienced a panic attack while I was at work. This is now, I want to say the second or third time, maybe it was just the second, that I've had a full-blown panic attack while at work. The first was during the pandemic, and I had a full-blown panic attack, had to like remove myself from the building. And I did in this situation as well. And it's just interesting because I've never been this person I've never had panic attacks prior to this. Like before the pandemic, that was never a thing that I had ever experienced. I felt like I had pretty good control over my emotions and what I was feeling. I mean, I've had my moments, like I can get angry and I can get frustrated and I can get all of the things, but feeling as though you're out of control and that feeling of not being able to breathe, it is very new and recent. And I'm sure that it has somewhat to do with me just getting older and my body changing and all of the wonderful things that are happening to me. But I just wanted to throw it out there because I think there is this... is it a stigma or just a way of thinking that when people hear like, oh, someone so-and-so had a panic attack, I almost feel like we look down on those people of like, oh, well, you are just like over emotional or you just don't have control of yourself. Or do you know what I mean?
It's interesting because I do see that stigma that you're referring to. But on the other hand, I also think we've come a long way in terms of accepting anxiety and some of the other things that come with that, including like panic attacks. It's interesting because within the realm of mental health, I almost feel like there's levels of the things that we accept and are willing to talk about and are not taboo. And I feel like anxiety and depression, a lot of those more, I'm going to call them blanket terms, like that, because anxiety can resonate in a lot of different ways, right?
Right.
I feel like those are kind of at the base level. They're very acceptable because it's something I think everyone experiences at some point. Then you start to move up the ladder. And I think next up would be like panic attacks. And I think that that's something less people have maybe encountered. And so less people are accepting or open to talking about it. And there is more of that stigma. And then if you keep going up the ladder, I think you get into some more complex mental health illnesses that maybe people don't know as much about or have as much experience with. That's where you get into things like bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, eating disorders, and like those become even more taboo because I think less people have experience with them. Does that make sense? Yes. At least that's how I interpret it.
No, you're absolutely right. And it absolutely does. And I think we do have conversations of like, oh, I'm feeling depressed or I'm feeling, you know, anxious. Like these are words that we are so used to. But hearing panic attacks is not one that you hear very often from people. And so when people say, oh, I'm having a panic attack, it's a very interesting experience. Have you had one before?
So here's what's interesting. Yes, I have, not within the realm of school and teaching. I'll come back to that. Okay. But one thing I've realized is, and I think this is where the more people talk about it, things that I didn't realize were like anxiety related that I'm now realizing like, oh, that's a way that anxiety manifests in me. So I'm having to learn more about myself. And I'm not one for labels, though. I'm not like, I don't know. I think some people, I struggle to say this because I don't want it to come off the wrong way, but I think some people almost make that their identity and they really lean into it and it kind of becomes a big part of them. Whereas for me, I look at it as everyone experiences this on a spectrum and it's normal. And so I have never really honed in on like my anxiety or even like I've experienced depression and I've dealt with a lot of things with that. I just don't make it the forefront of me. With panic attacks, I have had, I don't really have a specific number, but I've had more than one, but it's never been work or professional related. For me, it's been more, like I have some personal things that have been triggered by it with like, you know, again, another word that I think is overused, but like trauma, like I've had it resonate in those ways where things have been triggered. And it's interesting because you were mentioning the whole, like, not being able to breathe. I almost feel like it would be helpful for us each to kind of maybe describe what it looks like for us. She's giving me the like me too side.
Yes. But I was thinking first, let's take a break and then we would come back and share a little bit more about our experiences.
Let's do it. Yeah. If you are ready for your productivity to blossom this April, Bridget and I have 3 easy steps you can follow. Step 1 is to head to teachingonthedouble.com/014 to download our free classroom spring cleaning checklist that you can use to get your space tidied up so you can be as efficient as possible.
Step 2 is to head to teachingonthedouble.com/001 to download our free habit tracker and then choose a new simple habit you can adopt this month to help you become your best self, such as ending each workday with a 0 inbox or taking a walk outside to get some fresh air.
Finally, step 3 is to head to teachingonthedouble.com/store to grab our digital personal planner, which is ideal for organizing all aspects of your life, especially outside of the classroom. Every month has planning and reflection pages that will revolutionize your productivity without a doubt. I've been using them every month this year, and I feel like I've finally locked into a system that actually works for getting things done.
Again, those links are teachingonthedouble.com/014 for the free spring cleaning checklist, teachingonthedouble.com/001 for the free habit tracker, and teachingonthedouble.com/store for the digital personal planner. We promise you can complete these 3 steps in less than 5 minutes and allow your productivity to come into full bloom this spring. But for now, back to the episode. All right, so we are back from the break, and we've kicked off really just having a conversation about panic attacks and what it means for us, but we want to share a little bit more about our own experiences so that you can relate as you're sitting here listening to us and our stories. And I mentioned that for me, it started during COVID, was during one of them when I was teaching in the classroom. I've started to realize it's when I am feeling as though I am losing control of the things that are around me. And I am feeling this overwhelm of too many things happening all at once. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to share my most recent experience because that's the one that just happened a few weeks ago. And so I have mentioned to Michelle and I've mentioned, you know, here on YouTube that I've had really, really busy couple of months. And so March has been the busiest of all months for me. And it's because I've had PD after PD after PD after PD. And it's like slide decks all around, and it's all these different topics, and there's so much going on with coaching and all of these other components. And we had a meeting, and so we typically have a once a month, you could almost think of it like a faculty meeting, but it's mm-hmm. you know, a service delivery, that's what we do. And so we're having a meeting and they're like, let's start planning for the next year. Now, typically, I am all for a planning for the next year. Like, I am hands down that person. Like, when I was teaching, I was that person. Come like March, April, I'm like, all right, what are we doing next year? Like, what are the changes we're going to make? Like, I've always been that person that's so gung-ho. That's like, yes, let's move forward. Let's keep going. I enjoy that. However, I think in that moment when it was like, oh, I have 6 slide decks that I'm currently working on right now that are not done, and those PDs are coming up very soon, and I'm not going to have time to get those submitted a week before the day that I'm supposed to be delivering it because I have had 0 time to be able to get it done. On top of now, I'm planning out what's happening for the upcoming year. I just remembered sitting there. And I could kind of feel like a little, like the kind of, oh, my heart, like my chest is starting to hurt. Like I can kind of feel like me shaking just a little bit. And then I was like, okay, I need to get out. I need to excuse myself because it is not the place where I want. It's not a public thing. I don't want to share it with people. I don't want to like make a scene or anything to that extent. So I just looked over to one of my supervisors and I said, I just need to take a moment. I'm going to be right back. And so I got up and I left and I like started like hauling butt because I could feel it coming. Like I could feel like I was starting to lose my breath. And I remember getting outside and I'm like, or I was calling my husband like on while I was walking in the hallway and I could see the doors to the outside. And then Trent answered because it was first thing in the morning and he was still getting Blaine ready for school. And I walked outside and I'm like, I'm having a panic attack. Like I can't breathe. And I could feel like my breath, when I say it was shortness of breath, like I truly, it was like clipped. It was clipped breaths, all that I was able to get in. And I'm crying and I'm hysterical to him. And I was so grateful, and I am so grateful for my husband, because he does such a nice job of helping me to work past it, because I know that it's going to be short lived, and that it's not going to be something that happens forever. And I know that I'm going to be okay. But it's like in that moment, you need something to ground you.
Yes.
And so he's like, all right, Blaine is wearing this and this. Like right now, we just fed Walter, and like Walter is laying at my feet. Like he's just kind of helping me to visualize what's happening around him and what's going on. And that helps to like, okay, like I'm getting past it. Like I'm kind of seeing things, and I'm trying to talk to him in the shortness of my breaths that I have. And I'm like, what did he eat this morning? Like I'm asking all these questions. And I just remember he was like, okay, it sounds like you're getting past it. I was like, yep, I'm just going to keep taking a few minutes. I'm sitting in my car at this moment. So I was like, I'm just going to keep taking a few minutes, and I'm just going to like relax that it's going to be okay. But like my chest still hurt. And I knew that I was in that moment. I was like, I know that I'm not like completely past it, because I still have the feelings of there are things that feel completely out of my control. And I don't know how I'm going to do this. Like, I don't know when it's going to be done. And so afterwards, I felt like I had a moment of one of my students where I'm like taking my hair and I'm like lifting it back, and I'm like wiping my hands, my eyes with my sleeves. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go back into the classroom, or in this case, in the meeting room. And I just walked back and I sat down like nothing happened, which is the hardest thing to do, because I and this is me personally, and you guys might object to that, but I just didn't want to share that with people.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because I personally think that people will think less of me. Like I don't have it together. Like I can't do the job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I'm not going to share it. And I didn't. And I did my best. There were moments where I would get up and I would go to the bathroom and I would take a couple breaks and I would walk around. And I'm thankful to be in the position that I'm in, that I had that ability to be able to do so on that particular day, right? Like, thank goodness I wasn't delivering a PD. But that was my experience.
Yeah. And a couple of things. I love that you included what helped you come out of it, like what helped to ground you, because I think anyone who has experienced this, you do start to learn not only your triggers, a lot of times you can, as you mentioned, feel it coming on and you know where it's headed, but then also having those strategies for being able to get out of it. And in terms of like sharing it with people, I feel like, because we're both in agreement that it needs to be something that's more openly talked about, but I don't think in that moment is the right time to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the way people will perceive us. It's more so, I feel like it's just too fresh in that moment. And it's more so being able to have the conversations like this after the fact to go, hey, like, and we all experience it, maybe not in the same way, but we can at least all empathize with those feelings, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, because I mentioned mine have always been like in a very personal setting, like at home. And so for me, some of the things that you mentioned are the same, and then other things are very different. So similar to you, I can feel and I know when it's being triggered. And sometimes I can get myself into a different mindset to allow it not to fully come on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's other times where once it gets past a certain point, it's like, I am no longer in control. And I feel like the best way to describe it, it's like I'm on a treadmill and someone else is bumping up the speed, and I have to just run as fast as I can to try to stay on, but like there's nothing I can do to slow it down. And it feels like it just keeps speeding up and speeding up and speeding up. And so for me, a lot of times it starts with that feeling of it gets harder to breathe and almost like a burning sensation in my chest. And with that, I'm usually crying. And it's, I like you use the word capped breaths. I feel like that's very descriptive of it, where it's like I take a breath, but I'm not getting oxygen. That's what it feels like. It feels like I'm breathing, but like my lungs aren't getting anything.
Yeah.
And they'll kind of get shorter and shorter and shorter. Mm-hmm. And as a result, like the crying will kind of escalate. But then that will only last for me for like a minute or two. And then I completely shut down. Mm. The crying stops. The breathing stops. The breathing doesn't stop. I'm breathing. But right. The like labored breathing stops. And I go completely mute. And this is always the hardest thing for me to describe of, I will literally feel like in my head, I will have all of these thoughts and things that I want to say. I cannot physically open my mouth and say them. Mm. I've had times where I can kind of make noises, those types of like my mouth is closed. I can make noises, but I physically cannot talk, and I'll be able to open my mouth and take breaths, because sometimes I'll do that and almost to like get ready to say something, but I can't. And it's such a frustrating feeling, because a lot of times like Billy is around when this is happening, and like I can't communicate with him what right. is happening. Like that's my hardest thing. Thankfully he's been with me long enough and he knows my backstory. He knows what's going on, and that's where in those moments, like his way of, again, he can kind of see that it's coming on. Once I get to that point where I've just shut down, literally, like I have to just kind of be held. I usually kind of end up bringing my knees into not roll up into a ball, but I feel.
You go kind of like protective mode where you like want to shelter yourself, right?
Full on turtle. And that's where, and like typically if there's a pillow or a blanket nearby, I put the pillow and like pull it into me or cover myself with a blanket. I feel vulnerable, and I more than anything in those moments, I crave safety. And so Billy knows like the best way to help me is like just physically holding me. And ultimately what comes out of it is like a little bit at a time. It's almost like I just start to unravel and I can feel my muscles detensing. And like literally little by little, I can like feel my, almost like a melting. That's probably a good way to describe it. I feel like an ice cube that's like melting. And eventually I will kind of get to that, like I feel limp, and it's because I finally feel safe again. Thankfully that's never happened in like a public place. So I've never had to deal with that, like having to remove myself or anything like that. But, that's kind of typically how it has like resonated with me. And I don't think for a long time I realized that was a panic attack. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
it was just something that I did. And it wasn't until more recently that I kind of made the connection of like, oh, that's what that looks like for me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how you brought up knowing your triggers. And it's so interesting, again, how we are so different yet so alike at the same time, that your trigger is very personal and it has to do with your past experiences that you've had in your life.
Yep.
Whereas mine is more out of control, like too many things, overwhelm, like that type of feeling.
Yeah.
But in those moments, do you have anything that you can like find comfort in to get past it? Or do you just know that it's only going to last a little bit and you just let it go?
Yeah. I mean, I have certain things, like once I get into that mode where I literally, like in my head, it's almost like I'm just repeating to myself, like, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. Like, this isn't that, this isn't that. And I have to repeat that to myself and almost like remind myself, and I have to hear it enough times to go, okay, like to start to believe it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with the triggers, I think it is, you made a really good distinction of like the differences between them. And it's interesting because in a lot of ways I can tell it's coming on, but every now and then there have been where it's a certain sound or smell or like something that I didn't see coming that all of a sudden it's like a switch is flipped. But then there's other times where it's almost more of like a slow, I can feel it building. And so it's just interesting. And I think at the very beginning, you mentioned something about like getting older and how like maybe it's a matter of that. I think as we get older, we start to recognize and learn more about ourselves to know what, and hopefully over time we get better at coping with it, right? I think we all need different coping mechanisms for this, but we also start to learn more about ourselves and know what makes us tick and what those triggers are. And I think that that's important, is to be able to really pay attention in those moments to better serve ourselves in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So before we wrap up, I mean, anything else that we just want to cover in here? Really, this episode, more than anything, is just to, one, bring awareness to what's happening, right? To share our experiences, that if you are somebody out there that is experiencing the same thing with either of us, if you can resonate with either of our experiences, then you know that you are definitely not alone in this, and that it is not something that is, you know, to be seen as looking down on or frowned upon. It is life experiences. It's something that we all tend to go through, and of course in different ways, but we just wanted to bring this to the forefront of the conversation that we should be having, especially right now when things do feel a little bit more out of our control, or there are things in your life that are really triggering you in different ways. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that summarized it perfectly. More than anything, we just want y'all to realize you're not alone. We know it is different for everyone. And us sharing this was just our way of being able to be open with you all. I mean, we share a lot about ourselves, and I know not everyone is as open to like sharing stuff online. I think we both have just accepted that that's part of what we do.
Yeah.
But I know personally, when we will say something and then someone will reach out to me through an email or a message, and you never know what you say, how it could resonate with someone else. And sometimes that's the message that they needed to hear. And so
in that moment, right?
Yes, exactly. Almost like it's a sign. And I feel like more than anything, I just hope that if this was the sign that you needed, whether it's to seek help in some other way or just to realize, hey, I'm not broken, there's nothing wrong with me, other people go through this too, then hopefully this kind of served that purpose. But if you want more content on this, I mean, I don't know what else specifically we would share, but if you have follow-ups, like, we're always open. We want to give you the content that you want to hear from us. So let us know. You can head over to our website, teachonthedouble.com. From there, you can submit a time-sucking hurdle. And if you want to put in the time-sucking hurdle, like, hey, not for an episode, but, and you just have like an idea for an episode, you can always feel free to do that. You can also reach out through email. You know where to find us. But if you enjoy listening to Teaching to the Top, please follow the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, whatever it is that your platform calls it. It doesn't cost anything. It's just a way of saying, hey, I really like these two ladies and I want to hear more of what they have to say. And then that way, when we drop new episodes every Thursday morning, you will get notified. It'll download it for you. If you do listen to us through, especially Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. It helps us get into the ears of so many other teachers. Mm-hmm. And until next time, be timely.
Stay organized.
And be productive.
Bye-bye.
See ya.